Good morning, NMS attendees. How's everybody doing this morning? Who feels like my voice sounds? Just curious. It's not too bad. Normally by this time, my voice is starting to go. Something about the air here does it for me. But welcome, and thank you for attending our session today. This session is going to be a deep dive focus on a couple of Flexera's products that integrate with Configuration Manager. We're going to talk about Admin Studio, in particular, Application Manager within that. And we're also going to talk about App Portal, formerly known as SCCM Expert. How many people out there are packagers, do packaging on a weekly basis? Okay, great. How many of you are Configuration Manager administrators? Okay, how many of you do both? I'm sorry. Yes, I remember wearing those hats. Luckily, I don't have to wear those hats as much anymore. But let's see, I had another question or two. Maybe not. Nope. Okay, so a little more about myself. My name is Greg Ramsey. I am a Configuration Manager Administrator at Dell. I'm also an MVP for Microsoft for Configuration Manager. At Dell, we were in the Configuration Manager 2012 TAP. We currently have 8,000 systems in production. So we've been working with the application model and all the other new and cool features with Config Manager 2012. I got connected with Flexera during the betas and got an interest in their products to see how we can move from those classic packages to applications. So we're going to talk a bit about that today. And you'll meet John Juris in a little while. He'll come up and he's going to take over and talk about App Portal. So Admin Studio, just an iChart slide that you can take home and read later. We're going to basically dive in and we're going to talk a lot about the Application Manager. So there's a bit of information there. It's pretty slick how it all works, and like I said, we're really just going to dive in and do a hard demo for a while here. Just a quick GUI so you have it in your slide deck, but we're really just going to demo. So pray to the demo gods, please. Okay, great. So how many people have been in a couple sessions so far to learn about the new applications in Configuration Manager? Okay, good. Okay, so forgive me, my terminology can be challenging. There's applications, the official term. A lot of times I'll call it app model or application model. Normally if I say packages, we're talking about traditional packages, right? Config Manager 2007 packages, which can also be in 2012. So I'll probably say application or app model when we're talking about the new types of applications. So basically what we have here, I have a Configuration Manager 2012 site. I'm running the console as two different users because I want to talk a little bit about leveraging roles-based administration as well with the Flexera integration. But basically, we're going to spend most of our time here. And I just want to show you quick, there's not a lot to actually configure. Basically, this is all the configuration that you need to actually publish to your Configuration Manager 2012 environment. You can see I'm just doing Windows authentication. That's the best way, in my opinion, when you're doing that. It works really well, and like I said, whatever rights you have in Configuration Manager, those are the rights you're going to be able to use whenever you interface with Config Manager through Application Manager. All right, so we're going to go through a couple walkthroughs, and you'll see as we go through it how the pieces integrate together. One of the challenging things with App Model is that you have to know a lot more about the application before you send it out, right? In 2007, as well as packages programs in 2012, you need to run command line, and hopefully that's an unattended installation type of command line. That's great. That's what we've been doing forever. When you're talking about app model, there's a lot more that we can leverage, right? You deploy an application based on the deployment type that applies to your system. Different commands can be run. It also supports uninstall and other things. So there's a lot more that goes into deploying an application in 2012. So what we've done here, we've basically taken a lot of that information that the Config Manager admin would have to know by creating them inside of the Config Manager admin console, and actually your packagers and other people can actually leverage it through Flexera's product. So first I'm going to come in and import. I'm going to step through the wizard here real quick. You have several options when you import. You can select to import from a local network path. You can select a directory, so if you have multiple things to import, you can do that as well. You can also import packages as well as Configuration Manager 2012 applications. So if you're going to import packages, you can actually import from 2007 or from 2012. I'm going to go ahead and connect my 2012 site. I have a package in 2012 that we're going to move to application. Just a handy one here. This is the Config Manager 2012 toolkit. It is available for download, by the way. It's a little bit of a challenge to find when you're browsing the website, but you can find it. Basically, when you come in here, you see the package and you see all the programs. So you want to select the programs that you're going to kind of convert to deployment types, and you'll see how we do that. And then you're going to decide where which group you want them in inside of the console here. Import takes a few seconds to run. It does the import, and then it also does several checks on what you've brought in. So you can see it's starting to build out. We have an application, and I also have a deployment type here. In just another minute, it'll be finished, and we'll continue. Okay, looks like I can start clicking on it now, so we'll take a look. So basically, you have your package, or your application as it is. Sorry, it is still running, so I'm having a slowness on the click. Okay. Finish testing, so we're good. Okay, so you have your general information. As you've seen in Config Manager 2012, if you use the application catalog to deploy software, you can make some user-friendly icons, make those available as well. I'm just going to browse out and find an icon here that will work well enough for what we want for today. I'm just going to grab an icon from the administrative console. Once you're in here, you have your deployment types. If you've worked with applications in the labs or anything else, this will look pretty familiar to you. You can see you have all the options here that you would normally have inside the Config Manager console, as far as falling back to DP, on a slow network, download content, yes or no. All that information here is here, you know, even supporting branch cache enablement. That's all right here. I've got my standard program command line. Since I imported from a package program, it's actually going to leverage that command line. So whatever you were previously using, it will import that information here as well. All right, so this is where it gets interesting, right? When you had a classic package and program, you didn't have a detection method. You have to have a detection method in an application because an application is stateful. Just to remind everybody, when you deploy an application and you say you make it a required application, your intent is that the application should be installed on all of your targets, right? There's an application reevaluation cycle that happens by default every 7 days. If a user were to uninstall an application when that evaluation cycle runs, it will look at these detection methods to see if the application is installed or not. And if the detection method fails, then it will attempt to reinstall. So it's interesting when you come in here and look, Flexera added a bit to it. If you just go through the Config Manager process to import an MSI into AppModel, you get the product code. Flexera is actually also looking inside of the MSI, and it's looking at all the executables to make those part of the detection method. And of course, you can add, remove as you like. We'll do some of that here in a little bit. You have your standard requirements. You can also create custom requirements. You can see here, you can set your conditions. So for example, if we only want this to run on Windows 7, we can come in here and we can actually select that. Okay, that's great. I'm going to add another requirement, though. I'm going to make a user requirement. Because this is a full installation in MSI, I'm going to say where the primary device is equal to true. This is that whole user device affinity that you've heard about probably half of the week. So we can set this right inside of Admin Studio. You can see that's now a requirement on my MSI. So now we can take this a little bit further in a couple different ways, actually. You can see whenever I actually highlight the MSI, I can actually click on MSI, and it will take me into the Install Shield product where I can actually create an AppV installation if I want. I've done that previously, so I'm just going to go ahead and import that here. And I have the toolkit right there. By selecting this option, I can tell it if it finds the product code inside of Admin Studio to associate that. So you'll see these two grouped under the same application. So now I have an application with two deployment types. See, I have an AppV package and I have a full install. So I created requirement rules for the MSI. The MSI, basically, I told it to only install if primary user is equal to true. So basically, at installation time, when the application is evaluated, if you're not the primary user, it will go to the second priority. So the second priority right now is an AppV installation. Inside of the AppV installation, you can see I have those same types of settings that are for an AppV product. Also interesting, though, right? If it's an AppV, if it's a virtual app, you need to make sure that the AppV client is installed ahead of time. We can actually, from here, add a dependency. And I'm actually going to go to Configuration Manager to select that dependency. Since I have rights, I should be able to go over here and see it. OK, and this is where I wanted to kind of show the example, and we'll flip into the console and demonstrate it. So right now, I only see one application in Config Manager. It's because of the roles-based administration. If I come into Config Manager through this profile, you'll see that I'll have some additional packages or additional applications. Basically, what I have done, I'm running as a different user for Admin Studio, and you can see that those other packages no longer exist. Basically, it's because we are associating a scope to a packager to kind of simulate that. So let me come in here, and I'm just going to, as my full rights user, I'm going to set a security scope. So right now, my packager can only see the development scope. So you can't affect any other packages that are in production. So I'm going to go ahead and grant this scope into the AppV so that my packager can see it. So now if I come back in here and run through the process again, so I'll select my dependency. I'm going to use my integrated Windows authentication. So now I see additional packages. So this is one of the ways that you can kind of separate test from development, from production, things like that in Config Manager 2012. So the other thing that I didn't mention, and I'll flip back here in a minute, basically this packager has the default role of application packager inside of Configuration Manager. So this packager doesn't actually even have the rights to deploy software right now. You can grant those if you'd like, but by default, those aren't configured for this user. So I'm going to go ahead and select both the x86 and the x64 version of AppV, and I need to create a group for that. And when I create that and select Finish, you'll see now I have a dependency for the AppV installation on the AppV actual client being installed. So that's great. I have everything there. If I have additional references to this package or this application in different packages or applications, I would see that. And you also see your status as to whether or not it's been published to Configuration Manager. So let's go ahead and do that now. I'm going to distribute it. A friendly reminder that I'm in evaluation. And then I'll start the wizard to actually distribute it. Now, when you distribute from Application Manager, you're actually going to create a new source where Configuration Manager would use to access those files. In the application model, you always have to specify a UNC path. So this is just remembering the last UNC path that I had. And again, I'm just going to use my integrated authentication. While this is thinking, we'll flip over and look at the console for a moment. So like I was talking about in administration, I have a packager. Basically, his role is the application author role. like I said, he can't deploy software or anything else right now. Now, I could give him that additional role. I have actually limited him to a packager's test collection, so if I wanted to, I could make him an application deployment admin as well, and then he can only deploy to that collection. So we can definitely limit some rights there. Okay, back into our distribution wizard. I'm just going to tell it to put it in the root. We get a really nice fast scroll bar there. And once that's finished, we'll see it appear in Configuration Manager. This sometimes takes a minute or two. Okay, let me see if I can start something else while that's running. Question? Yeah, sure. So the question is, what if I don't want my application to be evaluated? So you're talking about an application model, that cycle of reevaluating every 7 days. Actually, I don't know that you can disable that at all. Right now, you can change the interval for how often you can do a reevaluation. But the whole intent with applications is that it should be able to detect whether it's installed or not. Now, if it's an optional installation, that like you say you make it available in application catalog and it's optional, then at that point, I don't think it will force a reinstall, because you can use the Software Center to uninstall something that way as well. Sure. Terminology is a little confusing right here. There's an application catalog inside of Admin Studio, completely separate than the application catalog that you see in Config Manager. Yeah, so when you hear application catalog and Config Manager, that's the user interface, that's the web-based portal for installing software. So they are completely separate. It's in both right now, sorry. So the application that I imported it from Configuration Manager, right? So at first, I imported from Configuration Manager, so it was technically in the database, right? We don't touch the database, we hit the provider and get the information. But so we basically pulled that information from Configuration Manager, imported it into Admin Studio, then we made changes, and then we just deployed it back to Configuration Manager to make it an application. We can take that question later if the databases can be on the same server. That shouldn't be a problem. Okay, so we're successful. Everything's good there. I'll go back into my software library under applications. You can see we've got a toolkit there. If we'd like, we could go through all the steps and see that all the settings are there. I just keep going back to scopes because I think you'll find this is more and more important as you go in 2012, especially the way, you know, even if you have multiple primary sites, when you create something in one site, it will replicate across. So a lot of people, myself included, in 2007, we kind of had a child site where our development teams basically built packages, tested packages, inherited packages from, you know, parent sites. It's a little different model in Configuration Manager 2012. And one of the ways we can manage that, again, this packager, I gave them the development scope. So basically, that's the only scope that that his published application receives whenever he publishes it in Configuration Manager. By doing that, I can hide his stuff from production until someone that has rights in both actually has the ability to come in and change it to the production scope. Okay, I want to do, let's see, one more sample. We're going to add the Configuration Manager console. This time we're going to browse it off the local system. Just going out to the standard console setup installation source files for Configuration Manager. I have the option, if it finds a transform, to automatically import any transforms it finds in the directory. If I have any patches, I can include those as well. Then there's some additional tables in the Configuration Manager MSI. We're going to go ahead and accept those. And again, I'll put them in the root. It'll take just a minute or two to import as well. Just to take this a little bit further, we'll go in and we'll look at those detection rules again, and we'll actually add a couple so you can see that as well. And then we could do the same and add a dependency onto the .NET framework if we want to, because that's a requirement, obviously, for a Configuration Manager console. While we're pausing, any other questions? Yes.
Do you import from a 2007 config manager site and then kick it out to the distro?
Yes. So the question is, can you import from 2007 and then distribute it to 2012? Yes. So in that import wizard, when one of the options says from a configuration manager package, so you can select either 2012 or 2007 from there. Otherwise, when you go to the bottom option, it says 2012 only. And that's for applications. But you can definitely connect to both. And obviously, like I said, you have to have the rights, and it's, you're actually connecting through the provider. So you should see whatever you see when you go into the admin console. So again, you can see our standard settings. And I just want to point out the detection methods again. They're pretty thorough, lots of great information there. And if you have dependencies, once again, we can add those here. Let's see, we talked about primary user. You have additional requirement rules that you can actually go out and build as well. So we can create custom requirements if we'd like. If you have any existing, they'll be in the drop-down, similar to dealing with applications. And you can actually go through and build and create your own, just like you can in Config Manager console. So the idea is, like I said, especially if you're currently using Admin Studio to build packages, you can leverage Admin Studio completely now to manage everything that you need to deploy in the Configuration Manager. And again, talking about those detection rules and things, the examples we've shown here are fairly straightforward because they're MSIs. But if you're talking a custom, you know, installation from your business or other applications that are just an EXE, sometimes getting that metadata information is a challenge. Admin Studio actually will get a bit more metadata out of an install script installation, but the idea is to really get this closer to the packager, the guy that knows how it installs and knows how to detect when it is installed. So I just wanted to point that out. And one other thing I wanted to mention back to that application reevaluation cycle, it's just very important to know when you're actually testing deploying applications in Config Manager, you can deploy it successfully today, and it may appear successful, but you really need to go in and run that application evaluation cycle. And let me just go show you where that is so we're all familiar with it. So those of you that do packaging, you probably want to add this to your testing plan, this application deployment evaluation cycle, because once an app is installed, like I said, you should run that to confirm that Config Manager says it's installed. Once you run that, then you should see it in Software Center. It should appear whether the application is installed or not. All right, now I'm going to hand it over to John, and I'll be available for questions afterwards.
Test, check, check. Okay, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Just get spun up here. So things, my name is John Juris. I'm a director of product management here at Flexera Software, formerly from SMS and then SCCM expert. I spent the last 7 years of my life working in portal technology land, integrating SCCM and SMS way back to even 2.0 with a web front end to allow users and support staff managers to go in and have a place to get software from. Just looking at what Greg showed us today, you see we've all come a long way from SMS installer. The world has changed. This app model is a major thing. And we certainly expect a massive adoption of it. So tools like Admin Studio are certainly going to help facilitate that transition in a pretty quick and easy way. So, you know, it's our view that we want to have something as sophisticated as the app model to be able to deploy the software that we're requesting. So you've done this, you know, perfect package. We have this broad app model, and you're still probably going to be supporting some traditional things like traditional packages, app V, some things that may not be able to be converted to the app model, and even other things, you know, Citrix and whatever the future is going to hold for these additional deployment types. So there's a lot of moving pieces now, a lot of different ways to get what you're looking for, whether you're a support engineer, whether you're a technician, whether you're an end user. So after that packaging is done, we need to look at really where we're going to go from here. Now that it's in SCCM, how do we do testing? How do we get this deployed to the organization? And how do we do so in this new user-focused world that we're evolving to, whether we like it or not? We don't really have much of a choice. It's something we were pushing for years, but a lot of places weren't ready for it. Culture wasn't ready for it. People and users were absolutely not ready for it. So I'm going to take you through some demonstrations of the app portal, give you an idea of why we see in Flexera saw in the acquisition of SCCM Expert a great place and a path for that packaging world to interact with the user community by way of System Center and SCCM 2012. So the app portal, it is an internally hosted intranet site for users to go and request software. Very much controlled presentation, so the users can only see what you're allowing them to see. And from a business perspective, things like department and organizational unit, we saw the various security roles that are in Configuration Manager, really IT-focused and great for controlling access to all these different areas with this role-based provisioning. So we want to have that same capacity, user-focused, though, groups and OUs, departments, and so on. And then, you know, all this work that we're doing for this packaging and expensive software, we need a way to control the approval of it. So to throw it out in the business and allow kind of freedom for the users to go and request it puts you in some sticky situations with upgrades and license compliance. So we want to make sure we have a framework in place to control how users are going to get the software, who in the business is going to approve it, managers, application owners, cost center people, just so you have a structure and a framework built around this. So, like I said, we've come a long way. A lot of different ideas around consumerization, and the world's a little different place. So, we're going to go into the demo. I'm going to switch over to my box here. Which one is it, Greg? Ah, I see E. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, the app portal, as I mentioned before, we've been supporting the packages, task sequences, virtual applications for some time, and now we are approaching the world of the app model. So I'm going to take you through some sample requests, what this behavior is, how can you take the things and work that you've done in Install Shield and in Admin Studio, publish them out to the business, not only for production use, but for test cases. We're going to have pilot groups. People need to test these applications. And, you know, do you guys want to be responsible for it? Probably not. Does the SCCM admin want to be responsible for that? Again, probably not. So you think of taking those items, putting them into a process, turning it over to the business, let them go through it, let them test it, let them give feedback, you know, rank it, give it 5 stars, 4 stars, tell you what the problem was, so you can then take that information, rehash it back into the package or the application, and get it out to the business in a working way, promoting that to a production scenario, and then rolling it out at the user's convenience, though. So what the app portal is going to provide is a framework for that request process. Taking a look at this first item here, the app model instance of Creative Suite CS6. A couple indications here. We have indication that requires approval. And also, beyond approval, we want to take a look at your licensing and licensing position from an inventory perspective. I know for those that do packaging, you know, that's kind of it. You've done your packaging and that's it. Now, the business is going to have a lot of concerns about making sure that they stay compliant and that their license counts are accurate and within reason. So what do? I'm an end user. I request software, and I start my checkout. Now, traditionally, App Portal, we've always been deploying to computers. Everybody knows previously to 2012, deploying to a user had its problems. You know, any user logs in anywhere, and they get that application anywhere. But now that we can support the 2012 app model, both user-centric and computer-type deployments are available. So one of the great things is, though, from a help desk staff or even as a packaging or testing staff, I can request software not only to my own computer with me on my machine, or I can request it for others in the organization. So if I'm a help desk person or technician, I can do deployments on behalf of others. Scheduling, too. So when do I want this? Do I want it right after it's been approved, or do I want to be notified via email to return to the site and schedule it at a time that's convenient for me? We also have things beyond just business case to understand about a user requesting things, how they're going to use this particular software. So often users are out there requesting, you know, you have your standard, you have your professional, and you have your premium instances of software. Users may see all three of them, and which one are they going to gravitate towards the most? Typically, you know, premium, because it sounds great and may cost a lot. So part of what App Portal does is allow you to develop these questionnaires and question templates. So to your option, you can take, you know, what does Creative Suite offer, the features, and ask the user, do they need these features? Do they need this functionality? So the business or application owner can make a good decision on whether to approve an item based on the feedback that the user is giving them for perhaps specific use cases. And you can ask them anything they want, any question that you want. Billing information, cost center information. You just pipe that in there so that the approvers can be more aware of what's happening and what they're looking for. So quick summary screen. Again, you see this item requires approval. And this is showing two levels of approval that relate to the business, not the admin, not the packager. Turn it over to the manager, turn it over to purchasing, application owner, and so on. And in a high volume area, you know, we need to allow the business to make those decisions on cost. Features and functionality can be kept in the IT world. So I'll go ahead and complete this request, and I'll be able to view the status of this request from an approval process and a deployment process kind of throughout the life cycle. And again, no need for the admin to go in and interact with this request any further. You put the app in production, you put the constraints and requirements around it from a licensing and approval perspective, and now let the business roll with it. So I'm going to go back and pick up a couple other ones. That was one for the app model, and we'll get these things installing in just a couple moments here. Basic things. So you saw I went through that. There was a lot of options and questions that I asked. Let's take a look at something simple like Microsoft Silverlight. This is going to be very basic. I just want it. I want it now. No approvals required. You know, a few clicks, and it's on the way down to my computer. And then finally, your traditional type of application that you may be supporting for some time, in the case of Visio. So I'll get all these submitted here, and we'll take a look at the details of each one. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
When you're selecting, do you have to select one at a time?
One application at a time? No, you can fill up your cart with is up to a certain administrative limit that you choose. You can enable each item to only be allowed and only requested in one instance, or you can let them kind of pile it up. Spend a couple more responses here. Go through. Once again, this one requires approval. We'll get it submitted. We can view the status for it. So you see here, as an end user now, I have insight into what I've requested and what state it's in. For the two that require approval, they both are showing that they're pending approval. You see that Suzanne is the purchaser for this item. We see that there's a approval status for it. So what is it doing at this particular time? We see some of these have a license available, and some of them do not. So it's really a business decision what to do. Do I make that purchase? Do I spend that money? Or do I perhaps recommend another application that may cost less, where there's licenses available, and so on? And then for Silverlight, we see here that this thing's progressing just fine. So no approval was required for this one. I could submit it, have System Center install that right away, and we'll show how long it's been actually processing for. So this is user insight into that installation progress. They see the status messages, what's happening, has it been received, is it downloading, is it running, did it succeed, or did it fail? I'm going to move over to this approve reject area. This is where the end users are able to, the approvers are able to review what is pending their approval. So they'll get email messages. It'll tell them, redirect them out here, and they can see what they need to do. And for each one, they'll be able to open up the details view here, see information about what they're requesting. They'll be able to see the questions that were responded to by the end user. And you can also have separate templates of questions targeting the approver. So you can imagine in a multi-tiered approval process that each approver is giving back their feedback for their specific purpose. You know, user gives cost center, approver enters budget code. And as you go through each stage, the request becomes more complete, contains more information, not only for reporting purposes, but also for approval and purchasing decisions. So I'm going to go enter just my information here and go ahead and save that. And then they'll also be wanting some insight into the inventory. Now, licensing obviously is a big thing, a big concern in a lot of organizations. So bringing this to the front before the software actually gets installed is kind of a new way of doing things. Often it's the true up, it's the end of month reporting, it's the running the SCCM report to show me, you know, what happened this month, how big of a check do I have to write. So by looking at this data ahead of time, earlier in the process, the business is able to make better decisions from both a purchasing perspective and compliance perspective, make sure I have licenses available. And the remaining license counts can be used to affect the approval process. So let's say you have a surplus of inventory. It only requires the manager to approve it. But should your inventory count drop or approach a certain threshold, then we can expand that approval process out, have more people approve it, send it over to purchasing, and so on. So it's very dynamic in the sense that it's changing based on whatever your current state is at any given time from a licensing perspective. You see here, this breaks it out into two areas. One of them, my global position on inventory, and also my regional or department style of inventory. So this is for those businesses where, you know, departments, groups, cost centers, they buy software, they pay for it. They don't want to give it up. They don't like to share, even though they're all part of the same organization. So while one department may have a surplus of inventory, another may be negative. So we can also evaluate it at more of a focused scope so that they get a good idea of exactly their position within the business. Now, should this be put in front of a purchaser? A purchaser can actually track purchase information directly in the system, or they can use their typical enterprise solution like SAP and enter that purchase in. And there's another product set with Flexera that will actually suck that information out of the purchasing system and help normalize and rationalize that data. But for us, we're tracking it in here. So the smaller sites that may be doing this on post-it notes and spreadsheets where they're tracking their purchase information or their homegrown access databases can have a place to put that. Question? Yeah, the question is, where does the inventory come from? So the things that we don't know upon installing the software is how many licenses you own of a product and how much it costs. So that's the information we need from you, and that can be imported or manually entered. The licenses used count does come from SCCM inventory by really any inventory class that SCCM can collect. Typically, though, add remove programs, asset intelligence. We can also get this data, again, from the FlexNet Manager solution, which has an application recognition library in there and kind of does all that calculation for you. But yes, used count comes from SCCM. Those rules are established by way of linking to inventory. And then ultimately, you know, what we're concerned about is this license available account. How many do I have? Now, as an approver, whether I'm an application owner or a manager, after reviewing the questions, I may find out that John entered a pretty poor business case for needing Visio 2010 Pro. They may have said that all I need to do is I need to open and read a Visio document. Or they didn't answer to the question that I need to be able to do a database schema analysis in Visio. So we also have an idea of what we call alternates or recommended alternatives, where I can take any application and provide alternates for that so that the business, again, can see what else can I give this user that is meeting the need or close to meet the need of the original application they requested. Whether that's a licensing thing or a functionality reason, that can be switched out and swapped out. So ultimately, the decision, though, is whether I should click on approve, reject, on whether or not an approver should approve it. I'll just go ahead and say approve. I'm going to override the other approvers just so I don't have to log in as each one. And we'll do the same thing on this one. We see that there's unanswered questions for this, so I probably won't be able to approve this until I go ahead and answer those questions, and it'll take me out here to do that as well. All right, so those get approved. Now, both notifications have happened to the user, so we told them, hey, your item's been approved. That's great. We're now going to push it down automatically through System Center because you asked for that to happen. And you'll see so that there's still some progress here. One of the things that we did is trigger a machine policy on that client, so we're bypassing that typical polling cycle, polling interval. Users can get their applications as quickly as possible. Now, how this looks on the Configuration Manager side, let's take a quick jump over here. So when App Portal is installed, you're going to get a couple folders created. One under User Collections, which is going to contain the deployment collections for your user-targeted deployments, which are typically going to be your application model, app model type deployments. And then under Device Collections, you'll also have your deployments for your traditional items, for things like your standard task sequences, packages, and even AppV items. And you also have inventory collections for those collections that you define inventory rules for. So how do we determine whether Visio Pro is present on a computer? These will contain those members that meet those criteria to say that it's present. And you see here that things are kind of happening as we're talking here. We have our Creative Suite collection. You see there's one member count in here. And we'll take a look at who's hanging out in here, and it's going to be me. So user-centric deployment approach. You'll notice those collections are created with no update schedule, so they just kind of sit idly there until they're populated and executed against. Then here in Silverlight one, if I can get this scroll going, we will see our membership rules contains our workstation. And we'll also have the option of cleaning up these collections. You saw they were entered as direct members. After the software is installed successfully, we have the ability to take that computer out of the collection so that the only thing in progress is the computers that are in the particular collection. Now, from a deployment side, obviously for the app model items, we're going to be creating our deployments. Sorry for having this a little bit scrolled all over the place here. So for each item, we're going to have a deployment presence. This is customized during the publication process. So you decide, very similar to what Admin Studio does, and to what your deployment should look like. And should you have already configured that in Admin Studio, there'll be future integrations between these two products. Our acquisition is only about 2 months old, so we're getting in the cycle to where you saw all the types of metadata that Admin Studio had, things like an icon, things like a description. So you can imagine being able to not only publish directly to SCCM, but also using those attributes and having them pulled into the portal as well, reducing any kind of administrative tasks that you might have to do. So this is a parallel of what are the type of objects that we're creating over here in SCCM 2012. Now, check back here with our deployment. We see that our Adobe Creative Suite has completed successfully. That completed in, looks like it's still calculating it. But still, you know, rapid deployment. A few minutes later after submitting it for a request, the user is getting their items. And these will all show up just in Software Center just the same. They can either submit it for reinstallation through the app portal, or they can do it on their own through there. You'll also notice that this little feedback icon has popped up here. So when we think about the testing and the application you know, piloting that you may want to do, this is a way to get feedback, a way to gather information so that either in test or production, you can understand what your users or what your testers think of the problem that they had and get your kind of Amazon-style ranking. Users can review items. Maybe maintenance is coming up for an application that you've determined is really unpopular and everybody hates it. So, you know, sometimes it looks kind of like, why would you do this in an enterprise, but really has some core good features? And people are, again, wanting to imitate what's happening in the user's home life with their iPods and iPads and soon to be Windows 8 app stores and tablets that are all coming out. So I'll just go ahead and submit my rating there. And they thankfully accepted it. And there we go. So, you know, the need for automation, the need to be able to take what you've done from a packaging side, what you've done administratively, and to be able to turn that over to the business so you're not dealing with these one-on-one individual software deployments can be a big time saver and also make your end user customer quite happy with the experience. But we want to do so in a very controlled manner, maintain approval, maintain inventory control, so that you know your new software that you rolled out isn't going to end up costing you in penalties, fines, or worst case, even an audit. So we still have a fair bit of time left, and I want to take you through some of the back-end things. But any questions currently that you have right now on the front end? Yeah, Mr. Markham. Sure. So where it goes to, the question is, can I show the deployment to a user and not the computer? So where it goes to is dependent on what they request. So if I request an app model item, that defaults to a user-based deployment or a user-centric deployment. If I request a classic package task sequence, that natively goes to the computer, but you can still change that and you can have it go to a user should you desire to. Deployment, yes. That's correct. So depending on the type of item that you're publishing to the app portal, will determine the defaults that happen when that deployment happens. Yes, Jason.
So based on that, does the app portal no longer require a client to use it?
So previously, in order to do an accurate deployment to a computer, Jason, do we need to still have the client? So client specifically, we have an ActiveX control that's a part of Internet Explorer. And that ActiveX control is used to determine what the current computer name is of the user. So it's true, you could stop using that if you are doing only user-centric deployments. Sure. Otherwise, because we're now using this user-to-device infinity, we know what devices we would be targeting to. And we can even present that list of computers to them. That's right. Yes, sir.
So this obviously, when you're installing, is when it goes back and creates that collection, or when you're when you approve, or at what stage does that collection get created?
Okay, sure. So what is the object? Yeah, I understand. Okay. So when the application or package or task sequence is published from SCCM to the app portal, it's at that time that we create a single collection and a single advertisement to represent that deployment. The collection is created empty. There's nobody there, and there's a standing advertisement to it. And then what happens is after people request and approve the items is when the resource is added to that collection, policy refreshed, and gears start to churn and Configuration Manager starts to do its job. So there's not one advertisement and one collection per request. It's a single one that is used and populated as requests come in.
So essentially the collection is based on the application because you have five users requesting the same application.
That's right. It's a application based collection. That's one way of calling it. So that's up to you. So we can take the resources back out of that collection after the successful status message is received. And some like to keep it in there. So in a user-focused deployment, I may just want to keep that user in there as been a target of that deployment. For computers, you may want to take them out. It's an administrative decision by you.
And the app portal itself, you would obviously have permissions and stuff, so user can't see who rejected.
That's right. The UI I'm showing here, just to give you a good experience with it, is kind of an admin level experience, so it is role-based security. Normal user, they'll come here, they'll see the browse catalog, they'll see the my requests. They may see the profile and help tabs, but things like approve, reject, and process are reserved for approvers. Admin's reserved for admin. So it is trimmed down. Yes?
If a manager picks a piece of software for a whole group, does the user get notified that it's something?
Sure. Anytime you do a request on behalf of model where I am requesting software on behalf of anybody else, it's really just like you impersonating them. So they're going to receive a notification that that Rod requested Microsoft Visio for me. And it's really just the submission process that that's happening through. And so both the requester, should it be somebody different, you see I have requester and target here in the grid, they're all the same. But in that case, it would be different. The manager would be the requester, the target would be the user, and they would both have then visibility into that request. So the manager could act as your help desk delegate that would do deployments to their direct reports, and both the user and manager would be able to see the visibility as to what's happening. Is it in progress? Is it installing? And so on. And then likewise for the help desk, you think about environments today that are still, you know, they're getting phone calls, they're logging tickets, maybe they're putting a machine into a security group to get a deployment going. That's really it. Once they do that, you know, it's not being followed up, because you imagine if I'm a help desk agent, I get 20 deployments a day that I do, I'm not going to go through SCCM reporting and, you know, pull up 20 different reports at various times of the day to see what the status of that is. So this will give you that dashboard look of what did I do today, what is the status of each one of those deployments. Maybe I want to close and open a ticket as part of that process. Yes?
Now, you know, sometimes you have new sites come up, and then you want techs to set all this up for the end users. So you have a group of people, let's say you have new users come in, and a group of applications. How do you do all of that at one time? Or just deploy one app per user?
Okay, so how can you deploy, say, maybe a roll of applications based on a certain location or something like that? Okay. So a couple different ways that can be done. So I talked about the request on behalf of model in both a single user and kind of from a manager perspective or a help desk perspective. So first it would start off with in Configuration Manager to define what those applications look like, a group of applications, and whether that's done through the app model or whether that's done through a task sequence, you know, picking your apps, having them installed in a certain order. In the catalog, I have an example of that from an engineering perspective. So in here, I have this engineering bundle. So that's a way of grouping applications together to represent some type of role. Now, how you target that role, there's a fourth request model that is called request to collection. So say these 50 users have been defined already as a collection within SCCM. I can still use that portal to deploy to a single computer, a pick list of computers. You know, I can search for a bunch of individual ones, or I can deploy to an actual collection. The difference being that deployment to a collection is still going to go through the approval workflow. So your manager would say, okay, I'm not approving a request for a single person, I'm requesting it for a collection that contains 50 people inside it. Now, on that same vein though, there's a bit more functionality around the OS deployment side of things. So this new office with these new 50 users, they're going to be getting 50 new computers, most likely. And the ability to get that computer provisioned earlier in that process is a feature of operating system deployment within SCCM as well as the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. And to transition into a next topic around that, I've scrolled down a little bit here to talk about a couple other type of catalog items that are pretty popular. You see this one, the software not in catalog. So we think about the indoctrination process, a new software in an organization. How do I submit something for something that doesn't yet exist? So similar to that questionnaire that we completed, you know, asking what's my business need for software, you can create non-software catalog items that would simply do things like open a help desk ticket or create a request in Admin Studio to have a new piece of software packaged. So that's a variation of what we traditionally focus on by way of what's in the catalog and that software not in catalog item. But then even below, so using that example again, you're opening a new site or you're re-imaging an existing department or you're doing a Windows 7 migration. AppPortal also supports a operating system deployment model. So as an end user or technician, I can come in here and not only install applications, but build machines with applications. So whether that's a 50 new PCs, a technician or end user can migrate or build new computers. So normal end users are only able to see this top option, reimage my computer. The second two options are for more technician-based, to build an unknown computer that doesn't even exist, I know nothing about it, or to image a new computer that I have some information on, such as a MAC address, or that is currently an existing resource. Let me talk a little bit about what this experience is. That I'm an end user, I want to migrate to Windows 7. And I want to do it without any help of IT. So what do I need when I migrate my computer? I need applications. And SCCM does a fantastic job of delivering the image down. The problem comes in the application world. So what we're doing with an AppPortal is applying what we call dynamic roles. And dynamic roles are similar to a traditional role in that it is a series of applications related to some part of the organization. So for your example of that office, those users in that office are going to be doing various tasks. And we're going to apply roles to them based on their attributes, things like their department value or office value. This IT role that I see here is because I'm in an IT department, and that is my attribute in Active Directory. So we're dynamically applying these roles based on conditions. And what this is giving me a global role that gives me Microsoft Office 2010. And then because of who I am in the organization, I also get the IT role. And that's going to include about a half dozen more applications. Then after the role, we say, well, you know, my XP computers have been, you know, online in production. They haven't been re-imaged for 5-6 years. So they've requested software that's outside of their role, or otherwise I can't find a role to compartmentalize them in. So the next step is to look at the applications installed on their source computer and say, well, what's present on your source computer that you're actively using that you want to migrate over to your new computer? In this case, we detected Visio 2010 Pro. And we see that we're giving it a good thumbs up recommendation to migrate that over. And why? Because it's used often. And that term used often should sound pretty familiar, as in a connection back to SCCM and software metering. So that software metering portion within Configuration Manager is going to give you that usage history. Not only is it present on a computer. So say Visio was installed on my computer, but it hasn't been used in the last 90 days. We could show it to the user, but we're not going to recommend that they migrate it. And going through this process can mean that I come out of my OS deployment, out of my migration, using less software than I went into. There's even a capability of standardizing. So say I have 5 previous versions of Visio in my environment. And going to Windows 7, only the latest version of Visio is supported. I've detected that using application compatibility. So you can create a relationship to say that anytime I detect previous versions of Visio, I'm going to recognize that, but we're going to deploy something different. In this case, we'll deploy the most recent and supported version of Visio 2010 Pro. So that's a kind of an upgrade or replacement scenario that we also support. So just continuing through here, the next thing is scheduling. And this type of scheduling can apply both to regular applications or even OS deployments. Now you see, today is the 16th, or maybe I'm in a time warp here in Vegas, but you see there's a whole bunch of dates that are crossed off here. And this is because when we want to put this kind of functionality in the hands of the users, we want to do so in a very controlled environment. So you see, there's a lot of dates that are crossed off. I can't actually pick a date until, you know, well in the future. And also notice that after a certain amount of time, there's some dates blocked off here, and then everything after, you know, May 1st is blocked off. This is what we call scheduling constraints. And what constraints do is they limit the ability for the user to pick an arbitrary time to be migrated or to receive a deployment. So it gives them freedom, but within a constrained fashion. And that helps do a couple things. One of them is to prevent too many deployments happening within a certain amount of time. So I can limit and say that only 10 deployments are allowed per day at the Cincinnati finance branch. And that way, when users come in here to schedule, that's evaluated against everybody else in that department that has previously scheduled, and will limit the not only dates but also time selections that I have available to pick from. Likewise, the same could be said for data size volume. I can restrict the total amount of content per day that is deployed down to a particular location based on the sum of the image and all the applications that were requested before. So it's giving this flexibility to the user to do it, but within time constraints. So I'm going to schedule my deployment for way off because the last thing I want to do is reimage my computer on stage. Now, back to those questionnaires. We saw these questionnaires during a regular software type of request. What's different when they're used as part of an operating system deployment is these can directly affect computer variables. And computer variables are what are used to make your task sequence and build process much more dynamic, meaning it will change and do different things based on what I input here. So here I'm doing a mass password. Maybe this gives me access to some secret location to do a backup. I have my backup type here. How am I going to back up my data? And this is just an example of what the various types of things that you can ask that through this form will directly affect how a computer gets built. So I'll continue through here. I'll complete that request. And let's take a look at what happens now. We're doing some work there. Let's take a look at what happens now back in Configuration Manager. So the behavior is the same from a perspective of how we do the deployment. But what is a little different here? Coming to my devices. I'll take a look at my example computer here. And take a look at the properties. We'll take a look at our variable list. So you see all these variables in here, some of what we recognize from the questionnaire that we completed and a password, the applications that were detected, and their associated package and program ID. But there's also these other variables that actually came from that role. So you saw that we were part of an IT role, and that IT role gave me additional variables that, again, can control how that build and restore process happens. So we have companies out there that are completely having their end users drive their Windows 7 migration within these constraints that is very much non-IT focused. They're setting up the process around it. They're setting up the infrastructure for the users to do it. But once that's done, they are letting them loose and letting them drive their migration on their own. The last part of that is how we let users know to do this. And that's a notion that we have around deployment management, a concept called user readiness. And user readiness is really a notification process where I can notify departments or groups of users that they're ready for something. And this could be for software, this could be for OS deployment, it doesn't matter. So kind of in our pilot scenario or a rollout scenario where you want to be able to bulk notify a series of users in a controlled manner, let them know that they're ready to request a certain piece of software that's new and published in the catalog. And so that you're doing a kind of a mini rollout, but again, it's a user-driven rollout. You're giving them capabilities and constraints around that to be able to do it. So for my Windows 7 upgrade, I can add a series of users. I can pick that from that list of users. I can set the time period around when I want them to be able to request it, start date, end date, a recommended date for them to receive this item, and then even blackout dates. And then they'll get an email communication with even calendar attachments and date ranges within that email that lets them know that this is what you have. This is what you need to do. You need to do it within these time periods. We recommend you do it on this date. Click this link, head out to the app portal, submit that request, and be able to get it. So what we've tried to do is just really take what Configuration Manager can do, leverage the new app model as a new way of deploying it. It's made us extremely happy because we've been working around some of those scenarios that Microsoft has solved with the app model for some time, and it's just going to make for a better product and a better experience for your users. So with about 5 minutes left or so, I want to see if there's any more questions for Greg or I that we can help out with. That's about all I have to show you for today. Again, we're Flexera Software. We're a gold sponsor here at MMS. We're going to be here for a couple more hours. We have a couple nice massage chairs over there, and I suggest you come by and say hi. A question? Yes? No, we're leveraging so much of what SCCM has in it that you know, we have sites of 140, 150,000 seats running this off of just one server. You know, you can get away with that. It's really a website in that concept for a front end. Anything else? Yes? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, how does the approval work? Sure. So approvals are done by way of what we call approval workflows. So you would come in here and you would define some order or some workflow for things to go in. So in the example I showed where the first level was a manager, the second level was purchasing, that's done through here. So I define these levels, I define who's going to purchase it, and then I attach it to any number of different catalog items to follow. So it's pretty much kind of a drag and drop type GUI. Within Active Directory, absolutely. And you can take managers and you can attach them to other types of attributes, like a department or an office or an organizational unit, or even an SCCM collection. Could all be part of that. It's within the same family. It is a separate product. So we have Admin Studio and App Portal under the application readiness portfolio. We have the FlexNet Manager Suite for the entitlements and license compliance side of things. And the App Portal is going to kind of sit in between those and to tie those two pieces together.
So with the Admin Studio for importing applications, can you import logs and files?
You can import them. Probably need to check with the guys over in the booth to get more detail on that. I know there's some metadata that can be pulled, but I'm not sure on the specifics myself.
This is Toby. He's the product manager for Admin Studio, so he can answer that for you.
With the WISE transition, we're in the process of getting to go from Symantec. It's going to be in a separate license Symantec version for it. Will be 64-bit. We'll have the ability to bring those over, but that's not going to be part of the standard Admin Studio component for at least 2 years. So if you're looking for the ability to move WISE up over, at this point, what we're going to suggest is probably run them side by side on the same box. We're a little bit limited in what we can do because when WISE did do that end of life, SignUp has a reseller for Flexera, which is quite an odd combination now. Part of the idea there was to help those customers have a software name and not necessarily just move them up directly to the Admin Studio for Microsoft, for instance. So, a little bit segmented, it's a little bit separated. We're going to be getting it soon, and it should be part of the Admin Studio for Symantec for WISE customers to be able to migrate over.
And do we know when that's going to happen?
I'm expecting literally any day right now, so it takes, you know, a little bit of time to get it into the product. I was hoping to get it out in our Q3 release, so stay tuned. That's best case. Worst case scenario, you probably do a Q4.
So to basically do the importation to be that to the device to be branded product.
A little bit, yeah. So the branded product would still actually work in the config map model. So you would be able to take things from WISE, import them into our app catalog, and pass them over to the new Big Man app.
So we're actually looking at that right now. WISE, Symantec has a separate product called the Active Studio for
Symantec.
And so if you had a license for WISE products up until last November, they're helping you basically migrate to this new product.
Don't put that one in after writing until I get the code. It's, yeah. Everything is pending until we actually lay hands on it, but we're expecting it momentarily. I mean, weather looks supposed to be Saturday, and then we're a couple other things. We're obviously all here, so it's any day now.
It's version 6.5.1.8 for those interested. I got to come by again. We'll talk with Brittany and Tiffany. Any other questions from the group? Yes, ma'am. So this is not part of the Admin Studio Enterprise Edition. It is a separate piece, but it is in that family of products. Yes. You're welcome. Anything else? All right, I think we're past time, right? We got 30 seconds left.
We're good.
Okay, everybody. Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for attending. Any questions, please see us at the Flexera booth in the middle of the expo right outside the Microsoft Pavilion. Thanks.